And I think from where I'm sitting, I would like to know who are the individuals who are involved in that. Because they basically had plunged that organization into a crisis, fighting with the minister, unwilling to resolve issues without litigation. And I do not know even how much that litigation would have cost. I think we must just be furnished with the information about that. Because people must understand that there are consequences for decisions that they are taking. It does not mean if you utilize the resources of the people of this country as the sitters are using, you can just do as you wish. And I think the extent to which we as public representatives take a hard line against such action, we will then be able to set an example about the conduct of people who are responsible for public funds. So we must get the names of those. And I think we must even inquire as to how can we recover the money from those who were involved in that, so that they too should understand that even when they are gone, we can still follow them to make them to account for their actions. So basically that is the reason why I'm asking for that. I know it's not this board that is responsible. I don't know how many of the people in the current board were part of those litigation. I mean, 31% achievement of the performance, it's quite bad. So what they did, they really incapacitated the organization from performing. So we're still feeling the effects of that even now. I mean, taking action against 70 people of the 200, almost 43% or so of the staff members who have been targeted and all of that. That's why I'm saying it's a horror move, Chair. And we must say... So let me hand over to the Chair to... I'm told this page, some of the current, page 99 of the annual report. So I don't know whether the chair or the CEO can then just tell us who was the chair of the board, who were the board members who were responsible for that, and then we'll take it from there.
I'll give it to them, Chair, but I just want to explain one thing, because at a time when the board took the minister to court, it was divided. And when they were placed under administration, some board members cited other board members to be the respondents. And coincidentally, those who were cited as the respondents in the case are the ones that have come back. The one that they are going to tell you were not part of the litigation. Instead, they themselves were cited as respondents by those boards.
No, we want those who are responsible for that. We want to know their names so that we can decide how to follow them up.
Okay. Chairperson, in the annual report on page 99, the chairperson at the time was Pearl Maposhe.
Just a minute.
Pearl Maposhe.
On page 99. Okay. The chairperson was
Pearl Maposhe. Okay, and then the others I don't know their names, but it was Molefe Skenjane, Sito, Dau, N. Ketlela, Muloko, Michael Lawrence, Mdaung, Sbusiso Busani, Margaret Bango, X. Titus, X. Van Rensbeck, Regis Bia, Mukumutsu Muswabi. As the chief director has indicated, the context here that some of the board members were divided. So there were those that were for and some of them were not for. And then also just to bring a context in terms of the fees, some of the legal fees were not necessarily paid by the CETA. They were paid by the constituencies of where these members were coming from. However, a huge amount of money of about over 5 million rand was spent on the forensic investigations by either the administrator or the board, whoever was back over the period of this situation that was taking place.
Okay. No, it's fine. I think let's get a report from both the department and the CETA responsible, and then we can take it from there. Give us the written report. Okay, members. Honorable Mananiso, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Yabo, Honorable Nodada, Honorable Gezi. Do you want to start first, Honorable Mudat? Oh, you are fine. Okay. No, it's fine. And then Honorable Letzi and Honorable Mkacho. So all of us are going to speak. And Honorable Ngawo. Okay. Let's start with yourself, Honorable Mananiso.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to welcome all the reports, and I want to start with TISA because of they've got a good story to tell.
CTA or TITA?
TITA. Like
this one. Oh, not CTA, MQA. MQA. Okay.
Chairperson, I want to start with the good story because the other ones are coming.
Oh, but the people who spoke about the good stories, mining.
No, that's what they said.
Okay.
And that's what I want to say.
All right. Okay, proceed.
Yeah. Malibongwe. Ikamala makosikazi.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah. Okay. Mine on the part, I think most of the things that I'm going to say, it will be for all these sitters that are here. One thing that I've noted is with regards to audit outcomes, to say all of them, one of the findings was on the issue of material adjustments. And again, on issues of financial credibility. And as you were speaking, most of the things that you alluded on is issues of SCM, supply chain management. So as a student of supply chain management, I want to check with yourselves, all of you. Is your problem human capital, or is the issue that people, they don't follow processes? Just literally corruption as it is. Is it that thing a problem that corruption is one of the organizational culture in your cities? The other thing that I want to check as well, leadership on TITA, is with regards to, do you have programs on women development on the basis that I was meeting with one of the ladies from Texas Association. And she raised one issue to say, you know, one of the things that I can tell is that there's lack of transformation in terms of women emancipation. So do you have any program that speaks to that? Because at times, these women who are ascending to a higher position, it will be on the basis that they are widows. But not in a sense that it will be me who was to be a taxi owner and so on. So I want to check if you have a program of women development with regards to that. All of you, again, I want to get to check if you've got gender-based violence institutional plan on the basis that, I mean, this call is for all of us to ensure that we respond as people who are leading in our society. Chairperson, I want to all these reports. In terms of your corporate support services report on your employment equity, there are limitations in terms of youth quota representation. If you do have young people in higher position or lower position, can we just get sense in terms of do we really have those people? And the other thing that I've checked more especially on the report of MQA. I'm not sure about others if it appears timers. The issue of unskilled. I'm worried about these unskilled people that are appearing on your report because for IR, even if you are illiterate, you would need to have a certain basic knowledge in terms of applying it. Chair, on the report of WNRP, page 31 to page 33. There where they indicate in terms of performance oversight statistics. On the issue of number of people trained on the per region. I'm worried about this number that you find Western Cape people. It's as if like everybody in Western Cape is, you know, is getting that particular service. Yet, when you check in terms of page 32, the levy that is accumulated is from Gauteng province. So I just want to check. For me, there's something that is not right. I want clarity in terms of why do people like ourselves from Gauteng not benefiting yet, you know, complying to issues of leave. On the MQA part, Chairperson, all right, I want to, on page, on the page where they speak about CET, on their report, they've made I think it's an error in terms of the number. The report tells us about 6, and somewhere where they elaborate, they say 7. So I just want clarity if it's 7 or 6 so that we know. One of the things that we have emphasized as a committee is that we're from communities. So when you come here and give us reports in terms of what you are doing on responding to services and training of our people, we just need to get the touch and feel of if I can go to where I stay, I would get that particular person as a beneficiary. So this is a recommendation to say next time when you come here, please include up until to the grassroots as your report to say that you've got Jane from Gauteng, from Westrand, you know, so that we are able to even speak for feedback purposes to our constituencies to say these things are there. It's a matter of you using them or not. The MQA, you must applaud them. They are not that bad. However, I'm interested on the part of your special project. To say here it's a figure, but it's not specific in terms of what are those particular special projects. Because as a person who comes from the mining area, we feel that at times, miners are like people who are having ownership in the mines. They are making money while we are suffering in terms of any other opportunity. So I want to check your special project to say what are kind of those particular special projects. Because every time some people will do Mandela Day and say it is a special project. While we as young people in that society, we need a community wall that is fully fleshed. So actually, all of you, if you have special project as part and parcel of your departments. Can you just indicate to us what is it that you're doing with regards to that particular sector of the special project? Lastly, Chairperson, we, as this committee, we always emphasize on the issue that we don't understand when people are applauding themselves for achieving 98% while they can still achieve 100%. I believe we've got credible men and women who can be able to achieve 100%. So the nice thing is, Teta, you say that La Pagisa, you are relevant in terms of Kaulezi. However, Kaulezi as well to achieve 100%, all of you guys. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mam Sue.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation from all the sitters board members. Thank you. Ted, you are talking about closing the gaps, and you are talking about unions. Which unions are you working together with it to close those gaps? You have said the leadership programs completed. From which provinces? Are all provinces covered? You have said the companies are failing to meet e-submission deadlines. What is their problem to meet the deadline? Mining qualifications authority. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Investigation is in progress. But kona noboshwayo nje osondela ngasejele. Wholesale and retail sector. Hayi. Kubi. Ukhalwa ama-unqualified, ba-qualify ama-no capacity. Who employed those people if they are not qualified? They need capacity. Ufuni capacity also qashewe. Kumele utrainwe phela, uyayazi, umuntu uqashwe ngoba hayi uphefumile ngesikhathi kuthiwa interviews. Hayi, I didn't get you clearly with 70 employers or employees. Lapaya nokutholakala ukuthi abasebe bawu 70 out of angaz out of ban. Kodwa ngibona isibalo siningi lapho clarity. Kodwa sabhala ku page ba kodwa khona la. Yeah, but you have said 70, I don't know is employers or employees. Participation by stakeholders is steadily increasing. Why? Steadily. Kushoni. 62, I'm not sure. Is it 62 million or 62, page 8, 62,000? Because I heard you have said 62 million, but here it is written that it is 62,000. Clarity. Hey, the structure was dysfunctional.
Thank you, Mam Sue. Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask two things to the WR Center. Sorry. It was mentioned that some of the programs were closed on slide 12. I just want to confirm, does it, if it is closed, does it mean it is completed or does it mean it is shut down and killed right there? And then on both the mining CETA and the trade CETA, there's something which I can't understand, but it must be something about our social fabric, that we have such large levels of inequality in South Africa, and yet people who are employees don't take up the opportunities, because many of the targets which were not reached was about were about opportunities not taken up at the W&R CETA. It's on slide 31, and the mining CETA referred to it as program three, that large number of employees didn't take up the opportunities. And I just can't, there's a saying in Afrikaans, I cannot be claim crazy. I can't wrap my head around it. Why don't people take up these opportunities as we have high levels of inequality? People need to grab opportunities to uplift themselves. What's wrong? And then I just want to say about the first part, the other story that the chair referred to. Now you are in the same position as politicians. You have two or three lazy politicians stealing some money, and then they say politicians are all lazy and scallum. And the CETAs have a similar image problem, that people, just ordinary people, not very informed, say, oh, the CETAs are all these corrupt institutions, because there was maybe one that had a board or two subsequent boards with corruptions or with allegations of corruption. And that is the responsibility that we all have. If I drop a stick, I don't just drop the stick for myself. I drop the stick for a whole sector, and that's what we are. That's what we have to rebuild. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Who was next? Honourable Notat.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to everybody. Chair, I think I would like to firstly agree with the question you posed to the current WNR CETA board chairperson of who those individuals were. But I think to take it further, chairperson, before I even make a comment on anything, because it's going to apply to all the presentations given today. You see, when we are dealing with reports from entities, especially government entities, often the AG will find particular findings and say, this is a mistake that has happened. And in many instances, we're supposed to investigate and institute some form of consequence management. Now, you find yourself in a situation where you've got WNR CETA, where many people have resigned, are no longer there, and the question remains, what consequences have those individuals who have disrupted an entire entity of government faced? And I think let's take it further to say, these are the individuals, and we need to hold them accountable. Otherwise, what is stopping the current board from making whatever conflict they want to make and up to leave? And I think it's a point that needs to be taken, that consequences in instances like this have to be effected with a harsh hand, with no fear, no favor. And I think we need to take it further in terms of those individuals that we're going to acquire the names of. And I will start with WNR CETA. Just to say, we understand the background of what has transpired. I just wanted to check, has the forensic report outcomes been finalized? What are they? And what steps are being taken regarding them? If not, when will it be finalized? Number two, why was there a skills shortage when it comes to your research? Because I see you didn't meet any targets when it came to research on program two. If you can just give an indication of what's happening there. Regarding the learners on program three, which is mostly where your targets were focused at, are you able to locate the learners that have completed the programs that you indicate of? Are you able to check whether they placed somewhere? Are they utilizing their skill that they have acquired? Then on slide 31, there is information about, I think it's HTI, where none of those bursaries were dispersed. I just wanted to check what the issue was there. Does it mean those learners are now out of studying? Where are those learners that are supposed to acquire those bursaries to be able to utilize them to acquire a certain skill? And if that money has not been used, where is it? Then on program 4, you indicate that you are trained lecturers. I just wanted to check from which institutions are they from. And then lastly, again, it is worthy to mention that, yes, the finances are quite a disappointment, even the audit outcome from the Auditor General. Again, what is the plan to mitigate the factors that have been put on your table of what the challenges were? What have you put in place for consequence management for those individuals that are still in the entity that might have contributed to the outcomes of these from the Auditor General? Then going to the Mining Qualification Authority, it's a similar case. I think an honorable member has already asked regarding the consequences of those individuals that have been found to either be been corrupt or involved in fraudulent activities. How far is the process with the Hawks? You know, has anybody been charged? Is, you know, just to give an update on that, because I think we're going to be very, very keen on consequences moving forward, because seemingly people just do whatever they like, then they move from one entity to the next, and nobody locates that Mamoshil, and that's what we need to get to the bottom of. I'm just trying to... On page 29 to 33 on the report, I just wanted to check what is the completion rate of the learners again. Yes, you can be able to fund a certain number of people. How many of them actually complete the course? And of those that complete the course, are you able to track, do you have a database of where they are located? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they working somewhere? Because anything that has to do with skills transfer, skills development, which I believe most majority of the entities we deal in the department are all about, we need to be able to locate whether those people's skills are being utilized somewhere and whether they're changing their lives for the better, because I think that's precisely why they would have wanted to acquire a skill. I don't think there's much to say on the entity besides the fact that it seems as if things are stable, and I like the fact that the comment that was made about zero tolerance about fraud and corruption, which I think is quite commendable. Then Teta also pretty good picture. I just wanted to check with the age of digitization, especially around transport generally. You've got Uber, you've got Taxify, there's a lot that's happening. I just wanted to check in terms of the programs that you offer, is there any cultivation towards what's happening in the digitized industry? And in training the TVET college lecturers that provide these courses, are they also inclined to the cultivation that you might be putting in place to be able to be involved in the public transport system that is now digitized? Secondly, which TVET colleges and universities do you actually have programs with, as you have indicated, because I would like to know a breakdown of the list so that we can try and visit and see the impact of those TVET colleges on where they're located, the municipalities that they're in, the provinces that they're in, and how do those individual students that actually complete the program contribute to the immediate geographical environment about public transport. The last two, Chair, I can see that... taking time.
Oh yeah.
I just wanted to check
Take your time, honorable Nodata, we have got time.
Jeff, thank you so much. I just wanted to check, what are some of the reasons for the low appetite on the HTE learners on work placement, so that we can maybe see if you can't make any recommendations from our side? And then I think I've asked the question about the lecturers and the digitization. I think I'll end there, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Honourable Gates.
Maybe we must start by welcoming both the three reports. I mean, all of them. We want to welcome all the reports, and we want to welcome everyone who took their time to come here to be held accountable, because this is where you ought to explain what is really happening in those entities, and we must be in a position to, you know, understand what is really happening. A chairperson, I'll bring you closer, focusing primarily on the Auditor General's report, right? And in all the entities, three of them. And it's one thing that I have always been stressing about in terms of the needed, much more important expanded mandate of the Auditor General of South Africa. Because if you remember, Chair, and I think some of you would know, that when you account, you don't need to go deeper into nitty-gritties of what is really happening, how much is what, and, you know, services that are rendered. I mean, just recent, during the funeral of a councillor of the ANC in Swat, I mean, a plate of 35 rand on the street, it was 1,800 rand. So if you come with a report here and say, no, I passed the audit because we complied. We got a code from a business person or a business or a company, and a plate is 1,800. I don't think the Auditor General dwell much into that. And we might be in a trap here when, you know, an audit is clean and unqualified with no findings, only to find out that there are deeper problems in it. That's an appeal. I hope there is a rep from the Auditor General today, again, as we always have them. Right?
Two. No, there isn't one today.
Sorry?
At the end?
Yeah, they should.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. Okay.
Yes, we're going to start with the WR CETA. And the first question will apply to all of them. We want to check who appoints the boards, your respective boards, and how long are these, you know, how long is the term of your respective boards? Because, you know, ordinarily, you would know that corruption stems from overstaying in office of people who do not want to leave. They are already, you know, in close proximity with the system. They know the pros and cons. They know how to manipulate the system. And as a result, that is what brings us to what Honorable Boshoff is saying, to say there's this, you know, sociological characterization of CETAs in general, all the 23, 21, 23 CETAs, all of them, that you are extremely corrupt. Extremely. It's not even funny. I mean, myself, when I was coming here to this committee, I can tell you, I received moria of emails of complaints from each and every single NDD of yours. And those are facts, and it's real issues that ought to be addressed. And I think they should be a reshaping and rethinking of all these entities, because they are very instrumental, Comrade Chairperson, precisely because of the economic, you know, the economic position that the country is currently at. We need a lot of young people to be skilled. We need a lot of young people to be absorbed in this economy. And these are the entities that can directly help in that regard, right? So we want to also ask, I think he asked it, the consequence management. It can be that
we just fire people, you are gone now, you are gone with the money you wasted. What happened? We need to recover our money back, right? We need to recover our money back. And also, Chairperson, I think with the, I don't know where do they account these comrades, because I don't regard this as accounting, because this is just a light summary of what is really happening. A very light summary. I don't know where they are, whether they account to the ministry, to the department. I think it's very important that it should be reviewed, their accounting patterns. How do you account? Maybe we can save a lot of money from these entities if we have strict way of accounting. Mining Qualification Authority, on finances, they are donors, they are donors, and I'm very disturbed, honestly, too. Okay, from 2016-15, back there, you had around 43 million donors in donors, I mean. Then now, in 2018-19, you have 7 million in donors. One asks themselves to say, but in a country like South Africa, where, you know, we're so rich in minerals, the so prominent, big multi-international companies that are operating here, making billions, but they're failing to just finance, donate, how do you donate 7 million? 7 million, I'm sure they make it in 3 days, in a very, very, useless mind, by the way. But they decide to donor 7 million in a country where we need so many skills, right? I think we need to look into this, people, new comrades from MQA. And you must also tell us how you are saying there's a TVET graduate that entered the work spaces, right? Let's look into that. What were you offering these TVET students? Where are they, as they are mentioned, right? Where are these TVET students? Can we point them? Can we physically touch them? Because if the skill development levy, it gives you that money, you must tell us if it's not enough, if you are unable to engage those companies that operate in our country, that mine in our countries, will go there in your behalf and will demand that they finance and donate enough money so that we run successful programs in this country. Because there's too much money that is illegally even shifted by the very same companies. But they are failing to just understand the importance of health and safety in the environment that keeps on pumping profits to their pockets. We're moving forward, Chair. With Transport Education Training and Authority, right? We want to check, and partially it will affect everyone. The spaces where you operate, right? The apprenticeship. That's how you call them. Yeah. I don't know how you do oversight, because I had an encounter in a province of Gauteng where a pastor, I think he was a pastor, that guy, he got this responsibility to conduct the entire workshop or, you know, train students of Transport and Transport Education Training Authority. And those students or those learners, they were studying or practicing in a church, right? And 80% of their time they spend it doing nothing. So we start asking ourselves, as of course opposition, because we are opposing, we oppose precisely because we want the government to do correct things. Now, if you are saying people are studying somewhere and we are under the illusion that people are studying and they are acquiring skills, only to find out that every day when they go to that center, they go there, they play casino the whole day and they go back home. The only thing that they can, you know, bank on
It's just that little stipend they will get at the end of the month. But skills, dololo. And I think you don't take that serious. I can tell you, I haven't seen any, and I mean, I really mean it. I haven't seen any of these centers, you know, convincingly. When I get there and I could really feel like, yeah, something has been done. We have been to many of them. I can tell you it's a mess. These learners, some of them had to shut down this center, some of them. Because, you know, there's really nothing happening there. It is just a path to make money for other people. So we also need to check, because if we are going to, like, how we measure our success as your entities, how do you measure your success? Like MQA, you offer bursaries to students, and they graduate after you offered the bursaries, and the very same students, they go and work for London Mines, for instance. The very same company that refuses to at least give you something to subsidize your funding in terms of your budget. I don't know, maybe you get and we do not know, or you will put it in a different way. But in as far as I'm concerned, the capacity of mining industry in this country is sufficient enough to even have to pay half of free education in this country. The capacity of mining companies in this country. But we are going to be here when listening to Mining Qualification Authority telling us about 100 students. 100, like 100. 100. I mean, really, there's not even a TVET college that has 100 students. Nothing. There's even a class of matric is more than 100 students, learners. But we have 100, and people are making a lot of money with the very same labor that we are producing in schools. So let's look into that, our people, so that we are able to then deal with these issues. Yeah, I think I'll pause there, Chair, but I will re-emphasize. Unqualified audit or clean audit, according to the Auditor General, does not necessarily mean there's no corruption happening there. And in most cases, when the corruption cases are unearthed in these entities, they happen because of, you know, squabbles amongst board members that, you know, you ate, I will expose you. No, Lena, I want to eat. This time is my turn, right? And as a result, the issues just, you know, popcorn into the public. But other than that, if they all agree, you are not going to see anything, because they are going to manage those processes in the main. But thank you very much, Chair. We'll pause there.
Thank you. Honorable Yabo is talking about Tswane, a plate of how much?
1,880
rand. 1,800. You saw it, I'm sure, Chair. I mean, yeah. It's unacceptable.
So it is. Really? I'm saying that because he's from Tswane. Maybe he can tell us more. Yeah. Honorable Yabo. But it's not a part of the coalition that is related to C. Okay. Honorable Yao.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, everyone. Is it still morning?
Afternoon.
Afternoon, everyone. Time flies by so quickly. In actual fact, I happen to write about that plate of food that costs 1,880 rand, which is alarming. But let me go down to the last presentation as my first point of departure, which is the Transport Education and Training Authority. Let me first make an observation that in the slide presentation, there is basically nothing about the board, its composition. And I suppose we can excuse the typos. Perhaps it was compiled in a rush. But I also want to make mention that there should have been a slide on program one to afford us the opportunity to interact with it, regardless of the fact that the Auditor General might not have raised any exceptions on it. We are empowered by law to conduct oversight. No one must do it on our behalf. I want to also highlight that in one of the slides, there is a mention on a progressive improvement on audit outcomes. But I am also noting that although there is that progressive improvement, there is a slide, and this is one of the things I'm talking about, some of the inconsistencies in the presentation. And I'm unable to refer to the slides numerically because they are not numbered. So I'm going to say the third slide from the end, that TITA for the 11th consecutive year received an unqualified audit opinion for the 2018-19 financial year. And yet, on one of the slides presented by the CEO, the progression is noted over a period of 5 years. Now, I want to know which is true, which is not. Have you been achieving unqualified audits for 11 years? Have you been achieving incremental improvements over 5 years? It's quite confusing. It's as if I'm reading a presentation of two different entities. I would like to encourage that in your presentation, when you make reference to these achievements, make allowance for numerics instead of just putting percentages, because percentages are quiet to us. We don't know what we are comparing it to. We don't know what the impact is. We would want to see in numerics what the targets being chased look like, because it affords us the opportunity to engage from an elementary perspective. It appears that, and I want to ask that perhaps in the process moving forward, the industry, the taxi industry, I see it's one of your target sectors, there should be a move towards formalizing some form of qualifications in that space. And the reason why I say this is that the majority of our people use taxis as part of the transport mix. In actual fact, 15 million people use taxis every day. The taxi industry employs 600,000 people. It is the most unformalized big sector of transport in the country. I think you should take it upon yourselves to look at ways to start formalizing through proper training, because the vast majority of our people are at the receiving end of bad service, bad treatment, by an industry which is supposed to make their life easier. And that is a space that I don't see spoken to. In actual fact, in one of the pie charts, I see you are only allocating about 1% of your money to the taxi industry. It is absurd for me that you have a road freight chamber getting the most funding when you have the taxi component or sector getting 1%. It's absurd. And this, I speak in light of transformation. if we are to change and reverse the trends of old in how the black majority of our people are treated, we need to start where the impact is most felt. Let me tell you a bit of a story in relation to that. I have been using public transport for the past 2 weeks myself. I had not been using it for the last 8-9 years. I decided I'm going to go use taxi. The first experience I had was that my trouser was torn by a seat of a taxi because there is no service level standard. For as long as it drives, it's on the road, it's fine. It can carry people. There is no attention to detail in as far as service is concerned. That is a space I think you should move into. This is to transform one of the biggest industries in the country. It's worth 50 billion rands per annum. That's a lot of money. Our approach is that, and I think as much as we speak about consequence management, we want to also appeal to the conscience of the people who are in charge of public funds. Your conscience. We cannot be preaching consequence management every single day we sit here. We cannot be the bearers of the stick. We should be able to congratulate the good work that you're doing. In actual fact, we should not be excited by unqualified audits. Clean audits must be the order of the day. We should also be able to measure good impact. And so the message to also Tita is that we will also look at the impact versus the ability to manage the funds without, I'm afraid to use the word, without squandering. Let me use the word squandering. And I'm also like to advise that please, in the next presentations, put a legend to explain the initialisms. Some of the initialisms are unfathomable. I wouldn't know what an IEDP is. I wouldn't know what an ILDP is. We are new. This is the sixth administration. We are new. So the assumption that you are dealing with old people who have been in, and not old by age, but because of the time they've spent here, should be sought off thoroughly. The maritime component. What is the level of transformation in that space, in the work that you do? The aerospace chamber. What key skills are you developing there? What are the demographics? And how good are you faring in terms of transformation? We know that the aerospace, the maritime, the freight handling spaces are untransformed. We know that for a fact. What are the throughput numbers towards the achievement of the transformation goals? And in as far as your training providers are concerned, what are the transformation numbers that you are pushing there in that space? I see you have targets of developing SMEs and you are not reaching one of them. What are the impediments? What are the bottlenecks? I don't even want to talk about forwarding and clearing. It remains largely untransformed. It is your role to assist with a transformation program in that space. Show us the numbers. Show us the incremental progress or regression. Those are the things we want to see. But we want to congratulate you for improving over the years, and I would assume that the correct representation is the 5-year incremental improvement and not the 11th year consecutive audit outcome that is unqualified. And if the first one is the real truth, I want to congratulate you for doing better. Next year, let's have a clean audit. No findings, no material misstatement, clean. The CFO is looking at me like, yeah, don't you? You must make the magic happen, CFO. With the Mining Qualifications Authority as the second last presentation, I have actually noted that the chairperson of the board is apparently regarded by law as the chief inspector of mines. Is that correct? That's a very powerful position. Very, very powerful. But it must not be powerful for you. It must be powerful for the country. And I hope you hear me. It must not be powerful for you. It must be powerful for the country. It is still alarming that you have fatal incidents, incidents of fatalities in some of these mines, which is then an indictment on your role as the chairperson of the board, as the chief inspector of mines. Because if you are a chief inspector and there are fatalities, it means you are dropping the ball. The indication that there is a 44% improvement on fatalities, although it is to be lauded, it is not to be taken as an achievement, because one life lost is a life too many. So we can't say when we lose 200 lives and the next year we lose 160 lives, we say, no, we have done better. One life is a life too many. In the small-scale space, small-scale mining, and this also will refer to a very complex space of mining which relates to the zamazamas, as we call them. I know that there is an intention by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy to try and shut down some of these shafts which are problematic with an intention to restart them. What will the role of the MQA be in that space? I know that process is handled by MINTEC. It does not report here to shut down those shafts, but the intention is ultimately to restart them with small-scale miners who are licensed, trained, and what will the MQA's role be in that particular program, and what will its role be moving forward in upskilling black miners? I am looking at some of the numbers in the performance in program 2, for example. You had targeted to hold 8 workshops per annum for the skills development facilitator capacity building. You have achieved 21. In the next column, you have achieved 18 when your target was 8. And this is one of the trends I picked up also with TIT. I did not mention it, that some of the achievements of these targets seem to tell a story that the targets were low to begin with. The targets were low. There is a black slide in your slide, Tita, that speaks to that, where you have an achievement of 1,080%. Speak to that. Is the target low? Is it an overachievement? What are the pull and push elements that made it to be achieved that high? What are the push and pull elements, MQA? What helped you go and achieve so high when your target was just 8? Let me end off by saying the MQA
is doing well on maintaining its unqualified police status, but it can get to clean. Let's not stay on that unqualified status for too long and become comfortable. Let's get a clean audit. But let us also have outputs that speak to a well-run entity with the funds that are well-managed. But I'm also concerned with the transformation as far as training providers are concerned. I'm worried at the pace of transformation. WNR, Sita, I want to avoid calling it what the chairperson said it is. The picture looks like a Freddy Krueger movie, but it appears there is intention to improve. Let me first say, the worst thing as a leader you can do is to try and vanilla coat a bad situation. So I was listening to the chief operations officer, and I think the chairperson of the portfolio committee stopped him in his tracks, trying to vanilla coat that no, we have high levels and standards of achievement. If it's 99%, don't count it. Don't vanilla coat it. An unachievement by any standard is an unachievement. There's no such thing as an almost, that's a winner. If in a race you come out number two, you are the best of the losers. You can never be called a winner. You are the best loser. So let's not vanilla coat some of these underachievements and say, no, but our standards are very high. Our people deserve high standards, very. In any case, it is not as if our people deserve substandard measurement. We are dealing with South Africans who deserve the best of us. And if we can offer them the best way to deal with their issue is to ship out. And I think that's the attitude you must hold. If you can't offer South Africans the best, you can ship out and find a space where substandard is acceptable. Gone are the days where people will run public purses like their personal fiefdoms, and as if their family's patrimony. They are gone. They are gone. Let me give you an example. When we go to the polls, the people don't ask about officials, correct? They speak about us. We go, we campaign, we speak to them, we ask them to vote, and they tell us, you guys are thieves. We are very far from the purse. Very, very far. Where I'm sitting, I'm very far from signing any check. But when I go to the people, they tell me that I'm the thief. During elections, the thieves are on this side. After elections, the truth comes out. The thieves are on that side. We want to admonish, and very strong, that please don't make our jobs very difficult. Because our intention is to change the lives of South Africans. Well, from where we come from, our intention is to change the lives of South Africans, not of our families, of South Africans in general. The story that is painted by the, what is this, CETA? Wholesale and retail. CETA paints a bleak picture of the goal and the trajectory we want to take the country to. But I must commend the candor of the chairperson for being candid that we were paralyzed as an organization because of squabbles that emanated from the board, senior management, instituting witch hunts as mentioned by the CFO, the picture must change. We want to appeal to people's consciences. We don't want to hold the stick anymore. When you get into your office and you are here to service South Africa, do it with a patriotic heart and a clear conscience. Don't go there to do other things. Don't cost us. Don't compromise us, who have to deal with these South Africans who will ask us a hard question. When you get into those offices, because you are in charge of those budgets that pass those programs, do it diligently. Don't compromise us, because you are forcing our hand to come after you. We'll come very hard. We will change the law to come after thieves. We will do it. Because we are called the thieves when we don't steal. We are very far from signing anything. We want to admonish that the picture painted by the WNR CETA must not be repeated anywhere. In fact, the rate and level of improvements must be faster than that of the plan for the 6 months turnaround. 6 months is too long. In actual fact, these impediments that have been seen to be able to even take a minister to court must be dealt with decisively. I mean, every second page I open in the beginning, you want a forensic.
All right, thank you very much.
The last thing, Chair,
Honorable,
that I wrote.
The last briefly.
I am unable to fathom on the financial position discretionary grant. I am unable to fathom what this means, the uncommitted reserves. And why there is a huge change from 2017-18 of the unreserved reserves to 2018-19, which is almost a gap of about almost 400 million. But let us close off by making a commendation that it is a good development that your irregular expenditure has dropped from 108 million in 16-17 to 12 million in 18-19. When you come back to report on 19-20, we would like to see this number having dropped to zero on irregular expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Yabo. That was a long submission. I allowed you to do that because you don't normally intervene. So I allowed you to, over the past few meetings you have not been speaking, so you raised quite fundamental issues which I agree with. I hope Honorable Litsia is just going to take 2 minutes, Honorable Mkacha 2 minutes. In 5 minutes, we are done.
Yes, Chair.
So, Honorable Yahu took more of your of your minutes. Okay.
Yes, maybe let me also welcome the report, Chair, and appreciate the time given, the 2 minutes given. Let me start with the WNR CETA. And say on page 10 and 11, you speak of forensic reports and that you have developed an action plan that is sitting with the CEO. I thought when the CEO was going to present, you are going to take us through how far are you with the action plan, with the forensic reports, especially the analysis that comes from the reports themselves. on a certification backlog. You speak of 17,000 being issued already. You don't tell us from how many. You said there was a backlog, but you don't inform us of how many, or what was the total, how far we in addressing the backlog. Was it 17,000 out of 170,000? Have we only addressed 10% or we've addressed 60% of the backlog? At least give us a clearer picture and also inform us of an action plan that will address the issue of the backlog. And those whom you certified, where are they? Can you find them in the system? Or like maybe if I were to borrow the language used by the CEO of MQA, you are training people for the streets. So are they somewhere? Are they located somewhere in the economy? On slide 13, speak of irregular expenditure. In fact, the CEO says, Chair, we've reduced or we've improved irregular expenditure from 87 million to 12 million. What is not telling us is that the books were opened, they were at zero regular expenditure and they went to 12 million. So you want to paint a picture, on a very bad picture. It does not assist us. You started on a financial year, 18-19 on zero, and you went to 12 million irregular expenditure. My worry with the language they are using, that now we've reduced from 87 to 12, it means next year they'll come and say, no, we've reduced from 87 to 12 to 10. Then we've reduced from 87 to 12 to 10 to 8. So it will take us forever to have a clean audit because we'll have irregular expenditure that we are made to understand that now it's reduced. We understand the history of the institution where you come from, of course. But at least if these things are, they come from accurate, it's something we can understand, but we can't be made to understand that there's just 12 million of irregular expenditure, whereas you are not even trying to tell us how you are going to improve moving forward. It means next time you might improve to 11 million irregular expenditure, and you might be made to understand that there's an improvement from 12 million to 11 million. I think that will take us forever if we're going to accept that kind of reporting. We must just put it clear that ours here is to make sure that we're on the same page moving forward. And we want, of course, for me, supply chain management processes should not be failing audit on those things. I know most of the CEOs, chair, they themselves are from AGSA, so they know what is supposed to be done there. So together with their teams in the CITAS, they should be able to get things right. So we should not really be getting former employees of AGSA being found not to be complying by their former employers. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. On page 15, you also blame the institution getting qualified audit from the previous year. That's the exact same wording you use from the previous year, which also raises an issue with me that it means you are not acknowledging where as an institution, we might have went wrong. We might have made mistakes, and I think those things must. Your target 31% on page 16. Chair, I I hope the institution have a turnaround strategy or an action plan that seeks to address some of these issues, or they will develop them, because when I was checking the documents, they were appointed last year. Of course, others may be in May or June, April, and so forth. but 31%, I suggest in the township where I come from, we're told that we've reduced the pass mark to 30%. So it suggests that maybe we're benchmarking from that language. Maybe let's try to improve. Let's put, you see, even in the report, let's say we got 31%. These were the reasons, and this is how we seek, this is how we're going to improve on them. But if we want to blame from 2014-15, even on performance, it raises questions about maybe what we want to achieve there. You spoke again of the misalignment, I think, of on targets, and that's why you and you did say that maybe you'll try and align those things. Maybe that will assist us, but from what I'm hearing here, I will not be surprised if we sit here next year and the CETA still underperforms, because from where I'm sitting, I'm not getting a sense that from management, there are things that you are willing to accept, that maybe Mona, we did not do well. Let's improve by doing 1, 2, 3, 4. so that's my biggest issue there. You did not mention that you had a one case of fruitless expenditure amounting to 287 million. And that it's on note 4 of 9 of, I think, in fact, on my notes here. is it this one? 287 million of. Those things of regular expenditure. and that's I think I have the wrong, but I know you have maybe take us through there. You've also regressed according to Auditor General, from unqualified you are now unqualified. Theta. I heard Honorable Gates say Theta. So somewhere in Gauteng where I come from, not very far, there's a radio station called Theta FM in the van. So I thought maybe he was talking about Theta FM. Theta, you used, according to what I was writing here from your presentation, you overspend on your budget. I think you spend 102%, if I'm not, or maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I can't count. The CEO, I'm sure you might have seen it somewhere, but you also had an irregular expenditure, also from SCM issues, where you extended contracts of five contracts above the allowed 15% threshold. Maybe take us through what are the issues there. at least here you did not have a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Your targets says here that 83%, maybe put plans in place to achieve 100%. But I want to speak to the issue of the taxes, Chair, before I move to my last point. With Tita, is this one of taxes?
Quickly.
Yeah, quickly, Chair.
Yeah.
the issue of taxes, tax industry, Honorable Yabo, is in my view, intentionally not formalized. Because Those even who are supposed to be taxi owners, they are just renting from somebody else called the bank in South Africa, where they take a majority of their what's supposed to be their profit back to the banks. So maybe with your curricula thing, maybe you can whilst you are bringing these things of Uber and all of the digitalization, maybe also think about assisting the industry with training that will make sure that they also have maybe not the union but a council of some sort where they can buy taxis directly from Toyota in Japan or whatever, and these taxi drivers buy from themselves, and you formalize that industry. Maybe, I don't know how you'll call it, but bring a course that will assist them there, but also facilitate that thing. And to MQA, the last one, and for me, at least for me, this one is a good story for me, and not necessarily for other members. It's a good story because I understand a little bit of what the MQA is doing. I've been exposed to your work before, a lot, in fact, because I'm from a mining town myself. I've seen the improvements that you've done through your Mining Health and Safety Council. I've seen with your MQA, your safety officers, and other courses that you have unleashed to our communities where we come from. Honorable Yabo touched on it a little bit. Is it possible that you can develop a small scale mining course? Where I come from, Anglo Gold has closed almost all their shafts. They used to have 9. They closed all of them. And I know these Zamazamas, they are mining there. Well, I don't know how much they are mining in terms of gold, but the throughputs, what they are able to do after mining there, it's extremely massive. Well, majority of them are my brothers and sisters from Lesotho, others from Mozambique, majority of them from Lesotho and Mozambique, but also smaller percentage of Zimbabweans. But the houses that they are able to buy and cars that they are able to drive after this thing suggest to me that it means the amount of gold they are getting from these shafts that are said to be out of gold seems to be enough, at least for small-scale mining. So maybe if we can do something yourselves the other department, our sister department, find something, put together a course for these communities. And these companies must be community companies, not necessarily maybe a Teboho company, or some, but maybe a community-based company that will run a small scale. Maybe a shaft can be one company, employ a certain number of people, another shaft belong to maybe an NGO of some sort. Maybe let's find mechanism of that sort that will save the situation there, because where we come from, our towns, mining towns, I'm sure you know, are beginning to be what we call ghost towns, a serious problem. And you know, when once the economy was high, if people are retrenched, you get a lot of sicknesses mushrooming, a lot of crime, a lot of gangsterism, and a lot of negative things that also comes back to police. Maponisa are now told they're not enough because now of the increase of all of these things. But your department, your thing, cheated underspent by 23%. On my notes, can you please check why is that the case? And then the last point is that you also had 70 million due to wasteful, fruitless, and irregular expenditure. How will we recover those funds from those who are responsible? I know the AG chair, you not so long ago passed a law that says those accounting officers must be held responsible or accountable, and must also, you know, must make people pay for money that they used without approval. So how are we going to recover those money, or that money, 70 million in total, and how far are we with the investigations? No, thanks very much. But this is a good story for me,
okay.
At least. Yeah.
All right, we're left with two, and we're really battling with time now. Can we please, brief to the point, and then so that we can allow the responses, so that we don't speak to ourselves. We must ask questions and then get them responded to. Honorable Mukasho.
Thanks, Chair. I'll try my best to be quick. With regards to TITA, I feel as though there's a need for us to decentralize the focus of where our activities or our investments are going, particularly moving away from our bigger provinces, your Gauteng, your Western Cape, your KZN. Of course, because of the demographics, sometimes you're forced to, like, let's just try and see how we decentralize that. Learning programs and projects, the target was not met by quite a significant amount. How can we do better at that, or how can we remedy that? Increase in small grant allocation. We've identified an increase in the amount of, in your allocation of grants to your small firms, right? How many of those grants are allocated to women? Young women also. Mandatory grant disbursements by firm. Okay, so the difference between your large firms, your medium firms, and your small firms. So you give a lot, you have a lot of, you allocate a lot to your small firms. You allocate less to your larger firms. So you have smaller large firms that you're allocating grants to. You have more small firms that you're allocating grants to, but when I look at the amount, the few large firms are getting more. How do we even that out to, because I'm assuming that the bias would, when we speak about being progressive, would be towards the small firms. The TVETs, the 8 TVETs, can you indicate where they're located? That you are partnering with, with the partnership successfully signed, the 8 TVETs, where are they located, and which two universities do you refer to under that particular slide? Employed learners completed on occupationally directed programs. You say that employed learners take longer to complete. What support is being provided to those learners so that they can complete on time? Also, maybe clarity, is it normal for them not to complete on time because they are employed, so maybe you extend the period for longer, or is it an issue that we're supposed to be addressing, and how can we address it, and what support is being granted to them? When you train a lot of TVET lecturers, do you monitor them to see that they truly learn something or are able to bring to reality in the lecture room what you have taught them or what you have workshopped them on? MQA, I think there's a need to better plan so that you don't have so many over achievements, right? Or you're displaying that you're achieving more than you have targeted. So I think if we better plan that, then particularly when you look at program 3.9B and 3.14B, where you've achieved over 50% of what you had targeted. And how do we remedy the targets not achieved under Program 3? Also, perhaps you could highlight how you're integrating Amazama into the work that you do in terms of training people, particularly those who are not necessarily illegal in their nature but responding to the crisis in society. And then with the WRCETA, that's my last one, Chair. I've got just two questions or two clarities. I also identify an over 50% achievement on 3 of your programs. I'm on page 27 or slide 27. That's worrisome because it indicates that you're not planning accordingly, perhaps. And then on page 31, you indicate the writing here is very small also, which is very problematic. But so there's continuing unemployed, Dublin RCTA bursary beneficiaries, that one, 100 registered, 509. The target was to be have 1,000 registered. The actual registered learners were 509. Oh, there's a bigger one. Thank you. what happened to these learners? Because, where are we? I think we're, the chair is there. Okay. The learners that the memorandums were not signed, the MOUs were not signed, what happened to those learners who I'm assuming they would have thought that they have the bursary, then something happened, they couldn't get the bursary. So what happened to those learners? I hope, you know, my concern is I hope they were able to finish their academic year or to be enrolled into the institution. Overall, I think it's very important that we do highlight gender demographics when we present, because we are a portfolio committee that is concerned on concerned with the progression of women and marginalized bodies in society. So it's very important that you do highlight women, youth, race, demographics as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Ngwebo, you are the last.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Excuse me. Chairperson, I had quite a number of questions, and in the process of the members asking their questions, I tried to eliminate questions, my questions, which had been asked as much as possible. And I wish to explain beforehand the way in which I'll pose questions, because I'm sensitive to time. They will be just simple questions with the hope that they are heard. If there is a need for me to clarify the question, I will. The first thing, Chairperson, is just to make a comment. Our country is where it is today because of the big handlers of money. Our country is where it is today because of the big handlers of money. It is very depressing to be here today. I start my questions. I will not be referring to specific sitters because they will be here getting the questions. There it's clear where the question is directed. The learner support graphs seem to be very uneven considering the different provinces. If one may get just a brief and concise enlightenment as to why it is so. To Chairperson, this one will be very brief because I had, it has been asked, but it's not complete the way I wanted it. The relationship between the targets and achievements can be very misleading. Because we do not know the formula that was used to arrive at setting those targets and those achievements. Three, Chairperson, a 100% achievement does not necessarily mean good performance. That's a statement. It's just a statement. Four, clean audits do not necessarily mean clean behavior within a company or sitters, as we're dealing with the sitters here today. This one pains me, Chairperson. We have been addressed by so many stakeholders. We have responded to the remarks of the auditors. I want to stress it, rather than ask any question about the audit reports, that it does not excite us to see a company boasting by having received a clean audit. It does not excite us. Neither do we get excited when a company gets an unqualified audit. Because this all depends on your CFO or whoever deals with the monies within. It is possible to manipulate your affairs such that you get what you want. It depends on the type of the person you have. That we know. That is why, Chairperson, I started by making that statement that our country is where it is today because of the big handlers of money. There is an issue about the TVET colleges, which it's a question I want just want to pose, which is the CETA, has the CETA begun to have a collaboration? If it is there already, are they going to be maybe working towards it sooner? I'm asking that question because of the envisaged GEC that will be coming into effect from 2022, if I'm right. Because if that does not happen, if it happens, it will assist the country very much. Talking about this in terms of the manner in which these learners will have to be assisted. Transformation must give us all the factors. For example, in terms of what? Out of a totality of what? Not just transformation that will come. I mean, it's misleading just to talk about transformation. Let's get the details of what you mean if you talk transformation. Please.
Thank you. Are you not done?
No, Chairperson, I said eight.
Eight?
Yes, I'm at number seven now. Maritime. No, but to be honest, Chairperson, I have been very reasonable.
No, it's fine. Proceed.
Yes.
I will allow you to ask eight questions.
Maritime is telling us of 16% because it's largely untransformed. Now, this is worrying. It is worrying, and that this one does deserve an answer, a response, a clear response. Why is it untransformed? What is the problem? What is the difficulty? Well, it's the last one now, Chairperson. Relationships between the targets and achievements. It looks like I repeated this one. It's because I was just trying to eliminate a Chairperson. I'm okay now. I'm covered. So my seven was the last one.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, we took some time asking questions. that you have been able to take notes. We didn't set a very good example to ourselves today as members, but of course maybe it's because of the number of entities that were asking questions. Because I would prefer a situation where we give ask question precise to the point and then listens to the response, because the responses may require that there must be a follow-up. But it's fine. We'll see how we manage again in future. So, but then you have got the questions. Lots of them. I'm just going to add on the questions. Very few. Okay, Teta or Teta, how do you pronounce it? T-E-T-A. I'd hope that you're going to take us into confidence on the difficulties that are there, Chairperson. The board issues that relates to the board and the Chairperson. Yesterday we had an engagement with the National Skills Authority, and they reported to us that they have commenced with an investigation of governance issues in the board. I do have the details of that, but I'd hope that you're going to take us into confidence that these are the situation that we're faced in now. So that we don't mask the difficulties. We don't do what Honorable Yabu says, sugarcoat. When there are difficulties, please bring them to our attention, so that we don't have to read about this thing in the papers. Because after having looked at the details of the issues there, I think it's the calm before the storm in that seat. We may experience the same thing that is happening in the WR seat. Because when there is issues in the board, particularly between the chair and the board, and that involve also the CEO, I would want you to be very honest with us and explain those issues about the working relationship with the board as the accounting authority. On the AG issues, I think it's good that you retained your unqualified audit report with findings, but there are issues about supply chain management, particularly the extension of the contract. I would want you to explain the details of these contracts which were extended. The WNR CETA, it would be unfair of us to ascribe the difficulties that you are experiencing or the chaos that you find yourself in to the current board. We know that what happened is because of the previous board. We would want to get the details. I'd want to repeat of the individuals involved in there. There are forensic investigations. Please share with us the details of what are those issues and how are you attending to them. I see there's a subcommittee of the board that has been established to assist the CEO to deal with those ones. But I think it's highly unacceptable for the entity to spend over 70% of the budget that allocated and achieve 31% of its target, because it's a clear mismatch there. We are spending, but we are not achieving what you intended to do, despite all of those difficulties. If you had spent less than 50%, you achieved 30%, it's fine. one would understand, but you spend almost equal to what the other sitters are spending, but your achievements are far, far below. Now, there is a complaint that has been sent to the public protector. I'm aware of the details. It's regarding the irregular appointment of staff, the salaries, the allegations about the high salaries of senior managers, issues around payment of performance bonuses, and so forth. Now, the CEO is aware because the CEO has been copied. I must disclose that I know the CEO, Tom, we worked together for some time, about what, 15 or so years back, when we were both the senior managers there in local government. So I know him to be a very competent person. And I hope that he will contribute towards taking that organization out of the mess that it is. So there is a complaint that has been sent to the public protector. When are you intending to respond to the issues that have been raised today? And are you able to share, at least confidentially with us, your responses around those? And then the AG report on the WR CETA, it's very sad that we have regressed from the qualified to the unqualified in the previous year to qualified with findings in the year under review. Of concern to me is the regular expenditure of 12.03 million. Can you explain that irregular expenditure plus the 6.5 million of irregular expenditure? What constitutes this irregular expenditure? Have you investigated this? The fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 287 million, which is a huge amount of money that constitutes fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then the Mining Qualifications Authority, congratulations on retaining the unqualified audit outcome with findings. I see the number of findings have reduced. But as the colleagues have said, you are a perfect candidate to play into the clean audit. And I don't see a reason why you shouldn't do that. So you must strive to have a clean audit. However, there are issues raised by the Auditor General on a regular expenditure of 23 million, which is regarding the evaluation of tenders and the non-compliance with the supply chain management. Can you explain to us the details of this regular expenditure? There's also a fruitless expenditure of 747 million that is related to SARS interest and other penalties. So can you please explain to us there is an issue on MQA which I would like the department and the Department of Higher Education and the Mining Qualifications Authority together with the Department of Minerals and Energy to resolve as a matter of urgency the two legislations that are governing the CETA. We must just get a commitment on how soon are we going to get that resolved so that this the Mining Qualifications Authority as a CETA is then governed by one legislation like all the other sitters. So those are my just a few brief questions to yourself. So we will break for 10 minutes, and because there's lunch which is ready outside, so strictly 10 minutes, we go out, have something, we can even have a working lunch if it's possible, so that we're able to finish before 3 o'clock. And when you respond precise to the point, don't emulate the example of my members of giving